Welcome. I got a text message yesterday from my hair cutter, hairstylist, whatever you call it, and she said a family just like mine recently moved to Phoenix from Los Angeles. Their daughter is also 3 years old. She was just diagnosed with leukemia yesterday. And I replied to her, "Put us in touch immediately." My wife and I spoke to this other couple. They're going through the same thing that we went through back in May, that initial shock. How to share the news with your family and friends and community. How to navigate the medical world. The fear, the breakdowns, heavy stuff. And this couple said to us, "The doctors are not giving us what we need right now. We need hope. We need strength. We need positivity." And I said to them, "That's not the doctor's job. We've learned that's the job of the community of others who have been through this with their children. That's the job of my wife and I. We're here for you, as so many have been there for us." And it felt really healing to be able to help somebody else in all the ways that people have helped us over the past 5 months. There's a story in the book, The Second Mountain. It was the 1950s. Jane Jacobs was looking out her window in Greenwich Village. A man was struggling with a young girl who suddenly went rigid. Jane Jacobs ran downstairs to help. At the very same moment, the couple who owned the butcher shop ran outside to help. So did the fruit man from behind his stand, and the locksmith, and some people doing their laundry. It turned out to be nothing but a struggle between a father and his daughter. But as Jacobs wrote in her book, The Death and Life of Great American Cities, safety on the street in a healthy neighborhood is not only kept by the police, it's also enforced by the people. And as I learned and realized yesterday, it's how our wisdom and hardship, knowledge and struggle bear fruit. You are going through what you're going through for a reason, and it's not always about upward trajectory. It's about joining all of our puzzle pieces, giving and receiving, looking forward and looking back, sowing and reaping. There's a very true story taking shape in my circle right now as I share this meditation with you. I have a very good friend. His name is Marco. He is beyond generous. And he has invested in another friend's clothing business. And when the friend's clothing business needed help, Marco invested again. When the clothing business needed more help, Marco invested another time. When the clothing business still needed more, Marco doubled and tripled down on his investment. Now, some people said to him, "Why are you doing this? You keep investing. It doesn't seem to be helping." Marco said he believes in this friend. He believes in their talent. He believes in their vision. He has an undying belief. It's pretty remarkable. Lo and behold, the clothing business is slowly starting to right itself. But another random investment that Marco made, really a Hail Mary small little investment, is about to net Marco a fortune. I believe Marco's unrelenting generosity is directly connected to this windfall. Marco has always worked habitually at generosity. He makes a sport of it. He's gifted at giving. Whether little things or big things, when he turns his generosity your way, it's a windfall. It's no surprise that he received a windfall. Another example for you. My wife and I have been so deep in this healing journey. We have not had dinner, just the two of us, since February. Last week, Marco sent me a card in the mail with a bunch of cash, and he said, "Take your wife to dinner and buy a really nice bottle of wine." And he wrote in there, "I know you don't need the money. It's not about the money. I just know you wouldn't spend a lot of money on a nice bottle of wine, and you deserve it." And he didn't really know that we hadn't been to dinner since February. He's just really good at giving. Same with my brother-in-law. He gives differently. It's not about putting money in businesses, but he's always giving gifts. The perfect pair of shoes on Father's Day. a little voice recorder to my son for Christmas, a portable battery for my computer, an air mattress to sleep on. We have this garden of gifts for my brother-in-law that we're constantly using. Every time we use one of these things, we think of him. He works habitually at generosity. He's really good at giving what you need, even when you don't know what you need. And the more I get to know my brother-in-law, the more I realize he always has what he needs. There's no scarcity in his world. It's a very comfortable flow. Which brings me back to the couple I told you about who are waking up today with this news that their daughter has leukemia. They have the same pain and fear and worry that we woke up to 5 months ago. So I've told you about someone in this meditation program. His name's Ryan. He walked his son through leukemia about 5 years ago. Ryan has dedicated countless hours to talking to me on the phone, helping me through my darkest moments of pain and worry and fear, helping me in a way nobody else could. I can think of very few humans in my life who have been so instrumental on my journey as Ryan has. You know, the people who are there with you in your most difficult moments, the people who turn around and give you a hand when you're struggling, that's a huge part of community. It's the kind of healing we need to close the divide and put out the fires and get better together. And whether he knows it or not, Ryan works habitually at generosity in making himself available. I tell you all of this because it was not until yesterday that I realized something many of you probably already know. This is what we're here on this planet to do, to work habitually at generosity. And as many of you probably discovered at some point in your lives, until we get that, our fingers are on the wrong home keys. We might succeed, but it will be difficult to feel that deep wholeness. So one more story for you. Also yesterday, we spoke to this lady from this charity called Rooms for Hope. They renovate the bedrooms of children with life-threatening illnesses. They're going to redo my daughter's bedroom. It's going to blow her mind. And this lady told me she used to work with Make-A-Wish, and she would sometimes grant wishes of teenagers who had life-threatening illnesses. And sometimes the teenager's wish would be a shopping spree. So this lady would get a limo and she'd show up at the teenager's house. They'd go to the mall together. She'd have a big stack of cash and the teenager could buy whatever they wanted. And this lady told me yesterday she's on this path in life because when she was a young mom, she had two children with life-threatening illnesses. And she made a deal with God that if her children could get better, she would dedicate her life to helping other children. She works habitually at generosity. She's really, really good at it. I know many of you do this and you live like this. You give till it's uncomfortable to give. For me, I need to do more. I want to do more. Question for you. To work habitually at generosity, what does that mean to you? What comes to mind when you hear those words? And if you don't already, what would it mean to give so much that it starts to get a little uncomfortable, maybe even a little risky? Could you, would you start to go there? I ask myself the same question. Take a moment to get comfortable, or should I say uncomfortable? And let's get into the flow of giving and receiving, inhaling and exhaling. For a few minutes, I will leave you to relax, to breathe, to get into the flow, giving and receiving, inhaling and exhaling. To work habitually at generosity. Ryan has told me again and again, call any time, middle of the night, whenever, I'm here for you. I cannot think of a greater gift. And it's inspired and taught me to turn around and help others, show up for others, give in the ways I can give, time, presence, meditations. To work habitually at generosity, like you would work on your Peloton or your yoga or your meditation. Giving and receiving, looking forward and looking back, sowing and reaping. Inhaling and exhaling. See you tomorrow. Peace.